This is Generation Justice, a multiracial project that trains youth to harness the power of community through media, narrative, and critical consciousness. I'm Ariana Cordova.
And I'm Elijah Cage. We want to remind you that this program broadcasts from the rightful lands of the Tiwa people.
Tonight we speak with Sarah Nihanluin, the program manager at Momentum Santa Fe. She speaks about vaccine equity and her experience with the Better Together program, which is managed by Momentum Santa Fe.
We also share the poem, May the People Remember, written by Indigenous author and farmer Rowan White. She posted this powerful poem on her Instagram page to remind us that another world is possible.
And we have community events, our weekly vaccine equity segment, and great music to share with you all.
That's right, starting with the water song by the Akwesasne woman.
Sarah Nihanluin has an extensive background in consultation, program management, and development. Currently, she is the program manager at Momentum Santa Fe. Momentum manages the Better Together program to help support their effort in vaccination access and outreach across New Mexico.
We'd like to take this moment to let our listeners know that Generation Justice has an agreement with the New Mexico Department of Health to provide vaccine equity services through the Better Together initiative.
The Better Together program is an initiative of the New Mexico Department of Health, managed by Momentum Santa Fe.
Here is GJ member Jacqueline Nguyen, speaking with Sarah Nihanluin.
This is Jacqueline Nguyen with Generation Justice, and I'm speaking with Sarah Nihanluin, the program manager at Momentum Santa Fe, which manages the Better Together program, an initiative of the New Mexico Department of Health that focuses on vaccine equity. Sarah Nihanluin grew up in Anchorage, Alaska. Sarah gained a Bachelor's of Arts in Anthropology from the University of Massachusetts Amherst after completing a semester of studying in India. She earned a Master's of Business Administration from Marlborough College. In 2019, she moved to Santa Fe, and in 2021, she relocated to Albuquerque. She has partnered with Momentum Santa Fe to work on multiple projects, including the 2020 Census and Better Together. Sarah, welcome to Generation Justice.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. So I want to ask, please tell us more about yourself.
I guess there's a lot of places to take that. I'm really passionate about the ways that anthropology, understanding how cultural concepts work and how things get done can really be leveraged in public health as kind of a general thing. But I love anthropology in general. Like, I read it for fun. I geek out about it. That's kind of my jam. And I really think it's cool the ways that I've been able to pull that into my experiences and working in New Mexico on things like Better Together. It gives me kind of a broad perspective and tools for really understanding a lot of different cultures and different areas. I love New Mexico. I think that the history is fascinating, the way that a lot of different people have come together over a long period of time, not necessarily pleasantly, but that's right, it's complicated and nuanced. And I think that there's a lot of I don't want to quite say beauty, but interest in that, right? Like that makes for a rich and interesting and complex history, and is a very unique kind of place. I've lived in quite a few different extremes in the United States, right? I grew up in Alaska. I've lived in New England for a long time, and New Mexico is something very, very, very different, and I think it's really beautiful. I guess, what else do you want to know? I have two small children. I guess that's one piece. They're very tiny. They love each other. I love that. They take a lot of time and energy and, they dramatically changed my life. And I'm very, very happy that I have them. And for me that a lot of personal stuff, comes back to them.
I think that's amazing that you have such a interest in anthropology, especially because like there's a lot of like deep and rich history in New Mexico. And I think it's really admirable. Can you please share more about your work with Momentum Santa Fe and the Better Together Coalition?
So I actually met Audrey in very early 2020. Like I think it must have been January. It might have been December, but I met her very early, right before the pandemic, and she and I really hit it off right away. We have kind of a cool mind meld that goes on. The ways that we think about projects and managing things overlaps really well, and I'm very fortunate to have a mentor in her. You know, she has an incredible amount of experience from working with the state, and so she's been able to teach me a lot in the last 4 years. So I'm really lucky to work with her, and so that kind of initiated like my contact with her and Momentum Santa Fe, and then I worked with her on the 2020 census for Sandoval County, which was really interesting. I hadn't actually worked directly with government before. I'd worked with nonprofits. So we had a lot of fun with that. It was really interesting to see how it all worked, right? The way the census worked had to change a lot because of the pandemic, right? I don't know if you guys remember any of the marketing for that, but it was the first time that they had tried to digitize the census at all. Right before that, it had always been like door to door, like paper interviews, things you sent them in the mail. So it really forced the government to digitize, which I think is a great thing. I think that could actually help a lot of people participate. But so anyway, then you know, as the pandemic proceeded, Audrey came across some different opportunities and asked if I was interested. And so I kind of started helping her out on the back end with some website stuff, and then slowly started helping her more and more with different components of kind of a project that came before Better Together called Trusted Voices, and then the Better Together program. So with Better Together, I do a lot of the back end stuff. I try to support organizations how I can. So we have a few different components. We have like the programs and themselves and the work that they do. And I try and be a resource, you know, for that. If they want to, you know, throw something on the wall and see if it sticks, I'm happy to be a listening ear. But mostly what I do is I actually get to look at the back end of the work. So every month they submit reporting to me, letting me know like this is what we did, and this is how it went. And then if they have numbers or statistics for that, and any documentation that they have that shows like this is what we did. So that could be anything from social media posts to a flyer to links for this podcast. Can be quite a wide array of things depending on what the organization is doing. And so then I look at all of that and be like, yep, that's what we're doing. You know, that's what is supporting the goals of Better Together, like to increase vaccination and then understanding about vaccine, how vaccines work and how COVID works, among other diseases. So after I look at all of that, I say, yes, this makes sense. And then I tell the Department of Health that yes, we can go ahead and pay them and send the invoice over to them. And I think that I'm really, really lucky to get to do this because I get to see all of the work that everybody does. And I think it's a really, really powerful program. And we actually, the Department of Health had never actually had a grant program for community organizations before. So it's a little bit revolutionary. And I think that we've had really great feedback from the Department of Health and even from the CDC on a national level, know about the work that's going on and know about this program. And I think it's really modeling a different way forward for public health.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your work. So, what does vaccine equity mean to you?
For me, it's that opportunity for everybody to get vaccinated and to be protected against diseases that we have vaccines for. Some of those vaccines we've had, you know, for a very, very long time. You know, polio was a really big deal in the, you know, early part of the 1900s. We had a president, right, who was disabled because of polio. And to me, it's mortifying to see the possibility of that coming back. And so a lot of it actually comes back to education and the need for really solid science in junior high and high school. I know for me that that's where a lot of my foundations for a scientific understanding of the world came from. And I'm really, really lucky that I had the teachers that I had. And I think we need to make more opportunities for that from the get-go. So because the consequence, I think, is having right a scene in the United States where so many adults don't understand, you know, how immunology works, how, you know, we fight off diseases and what bacteria is and what viruses are, right? Like a lot of people don't have that core understanding that's really shown up in the last 4 years. So for me, equity really comes back to that. And it comes back to community because it's something that we have to do together, right? That's part of why Audrey called it Better Together, is that we really have to do this collectively. My kids get all of their vaccines, but if they, you know, go to daycare and the other kids don't have any vaccines, people are still going to get sick, including my kids. So that's a lot of what it means for me.
Absolutely. I think that education and community is such like an important part of vaccine equity, as you mentioned. What do you wish more people knew about the importance of vaccination?
I guess I wish they just knew it wasn't going to kill them, right? Like the yeah. consequences of, you know, COVID and polio and measles are so much worse than anything the vaccine is likely to do to you, right? Like, and I guess I wish people just understood basic statistics stuff more, right? Like, okay, like 0.01% of, you know, a side effect happening to somebody means it's extremely likely that it's going to happen to you. Meanwhile, you know, all of these really bad things will happen if you get these diseases while being unvaccinated. I think, yeah, you know, I just, there's, you know, been a recent uptick in measles cases in the US, which had been practically eradicated. And all you have to do to not die is get vaccinated. So again, it seems simple to me, but I know that, you know, for a shockingly increasing number of Americans, it's not straightforward.
Yeah. Let's talk about vaccine hesitancy. What are the main things that lead it from your perspective?
Suspicion, I guess, is like the core thing, right? And a lot of things come back to that. Sometimes it's religious, right? People think, oh, you know, if God intended us for us to be immune, then we would, like, you know, be immune already. Just that mentality. I've also heard people be like, oh, well, I'm not sick, so I don't need it, which to me represents a huge misunderstanding about what a vaccine, right? It's a preventative measure, so you don't get sick in the first place. I actually, you know, my parents scare me because they won't get vaccinated for things like flu, let alone COVID, right? My mom did, and my dad is like, you know, like, oh, well, I'll just rely on herd immunity. And I was like, that's not how that works. You're supposed to be contributing to the herd immunity. But I think it comes back to, you know, suspicion and that lack of education, right? Not everybody got the same quality of science and health education. And I think a lot of it's really rooted in that. And then, like, people's attitudes about science, which, you know, is not... sometimes it's phrasing and language, right? Like the word theory means something different kind of to the general population than what it means to scientists. So things like that get misconstrued. And I think it comes to suspicion and misunderstanding, right? And I don't like needles. I really actually have a hard time with needles and getting shots. Like I have to, like, I have a whole anticipation thing about getting a shot. Like, it's better if I don't know. And I'm like, can I lay down? Like, I'm very chicken about it, right? Like, I'm a lot better about it now because you get a lot of shots when you have babies. So just, like, sheer, like, shock therapy has improved it for me. But, like, I used to get nauseous when I was in college, actually. They were like, hey, if you don't go get all your vaccines, we're going to kick you out. And so I went, and then, like, the nurse was afraid that I was going to pass out, like, afterward, because I was, like, white and nauseous. She was like, you need to sit down and put your head between your knees and, like, just, like, stay here. She was like, she told my friend, I had a friend go with me, and she was like, don't go anywhere. I need to make sure she doesn't faint. So I don't love vaccines. I don't love getting, like, I love the effect, but I don't love the experience of getting them. And I think that's a real piece of vaccine hesitancy we don't always talk about. It's like, this is unpleasant. I'm going to go and somebody's going to hurt me on purpose. And then, like, I might get nauseous and I might be sick for 2 days. And, like, yes, That sucks. I can't wait for more oral vaccines. I hear they're coming. Can't wait. It's going to be great. You know, so for some things that's starting to happen. But like, it's worth it to me. I would rather go like have the possibility of fainting and, you know, have my arm hurt for 2 days than, you know, get polio or die. So yeah, I guess that's what I think about vaccine hesitancy.
Absolutely. Like, I'm also scared of needles too, so I understand where you're coming from. And honestly,
you can ask to lay down.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I wish more places were like, oh, I had a nurse one time be like, do you want to lay down? And I was like, yes, please give me the option to lay down. It was like the first time I didn't get nauseous.
If only you knew.
I know. Now you know.
Tell you. Well, thank you. So what is your overall message to New Mexicans?
You know, fund education, fund science. It's really the path forward for so many things. Laying that foundation for everyone is crucial. And I think that includes, you know, giving adults a chance to go back to school and refresh their memory or get a better education than they got the first time around. Because I know that happens for a lot of people. I think we should make it easy to go to school for whatever you want. And we should also need to make sure that, like, our health and science classes are functional and not just perfunctory.
Absolutely. So where can people find more information about Momentum Santa Fe and the Better Together Coalition? And for our listeners who are not up to date with their vaccines, where can they find the information to sign up for that?
Yep. So the Better Together program can be found at bettertogethernm.com. So it's vaccine.doh.nm.gov. Oh, and that will take people directly to an interactive map that allows them to schedule a vaccine nearest to where they live. And then there's actually, it's kind of important to note, there is also a drop-down menu on there. There are several of them, but one of them on the end is accepts uninsured patients. And we really want to make sure that that's a part of the vaccine equity component we are continuing to try and push, is to make sure that even if people don't have insurance, that they can still get vaccinated.
Thank you so much for that. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
I think that Generation Justice is just doing amazing work to serve the youth of New Mexico. And I applaud you all. And it's so lovely to get to meet all of you. And please continue to do great work and build on these wonderful opportunities.
Thank you so much for everything that you do, all the work that you do and making sure people have the right information. And hopefully maybe this interview has helped people like maybe not feel as suspicious about vaccines and all that. So I want to thank you too. For Generation Justice, I'm Jacqueline Nguyen.
Thank you, Ms. Nihan Nguyen, for your work to provide people with knowledge of vaccinations. There has been disinformation as well as misinformation that has been shared and has confused individuals. And people must know the importance of vaccinations for themselves and those around them. So thank you.
Our guest Sarah chose the song for you. It is a modern take on an old Irish rebellion ballad. Here is Charlene's version of Oro.
Coming up next is Rowan White reciting her poem, May the People Remember.
With the atrocities and sadness that our world is experiencing, it is hard to imagine that another world is possible, but it is possible.
You are right, Audie. Another world is possible. To remind us of that, here is a poem by Rowan White, which she shared via Instagram in response to global atrocities, including in Gaza.
Rowan White is an author, seed keeper, and farmer from the Mohawk community of Akwesasne.
Now please enjoy her poem, May the People Remember.
The song that I weave into this poem is one of the songs that Sky Woman, who is our original ancestor as Haudenosaunee people, it was a song that she sang when she first came here to Turtle Island and began to sing the world awake in her grief of moving between the old world and the new world. She sang to make the world anew. And this is a song to remind us that a new world is possible. And this poem is called May the People Remember. O naige, o naige, yagwa yadaze, yagwa yadaze, wagatsenuni, wagatsenuni. Grandmother Granite, grant us the strength and the courage to remember. Lend us your mineral memory. Bones of the earth, bones of our body, bones of the ancestors, bones of the newly dead, bones of the disabled, bones of the dismembered, bones of the mourning, bones of the widows, bones of the orphans, bones of those yet unborn. We lay our medicines down for you, bundles of fragrant herbs, your basanta and ceanothus, and acorn and salmon and elderberries, fragrant smoke to cleanse the despair that clings to you, to help you paddle across the sea of stars with our river of tears. We sing you a morning song. We sing a song to put the world back together again, to birth a new world. O naige, o naige, yagwayadaze, yagwayadaze, wagatsenuni, wagatsenuni. We listen for the dreams that bring the songs that have been forgotten, the ones that heal all of your wounds across time. Hidden deep into the hearts of the ancestors, buried deep into the folds of spirited hearts, out of protection for the future, held in tiny little seeds, held in newborn babies' first breath, their cry to the world, we are still alive. O naige, o naige, yagwayadaze, yagwayadaze, wagatsenuni, wagatsenuni. These ancestors in the topography of stone, stone that is familiar as our children's faces. The ancestors' song arrives in flicker birds cackling, the wind in the cedar boughs, the dreams seeping up from hidden springs underfoot, the rivers who echo across time-worn granite. Listen. Songs that nearly lost their roots in the world when the harvests were no longer gathered because the land lay scorched and poisoned, and the mind and hearts of the people were disturbed by the death of that most treasured to them. Do we have the courage to remember the past? Do we have the courage to remember the future? The land gave us ceremony. Everyone has their part of the story to carry and tend. These ceremonies are written in the seeds and in the stars and in the waters and inside the earth. They are held inside of your heart, beating fiercely in promise to remember. O naige, o naige, yagwayadaze, yagwayadaze, wagatsenuni, wagatsenuni. The trees still sing these songs. The earth remembers. The people will remember. We are coming home to new worlds, just as our ancestors did. They sang the world back together again. Our collective tears form into rain clouds, washing our hearts clean of the losses ungrieved and the ceremonies undone. We will feast each other once again. We will use our condolence feathers to clean away the horrors from your senses, from your eyes, from your ears, from your mouths, from your noses, from your hands, and your hearts. We are here with hope inside of our hearts to plant these prayers under the full pink moon in the land of the acorn people. O naige, o naige, yagwaya daze, yagwaya daze, wagatsenuni, wagatsenuni. Some still remember. Our voices grow as the lost ones struggle with amnesia, confusion, and calcified inherited grief. The earth offers us her steadiness, and something begins to grow again from the dry and dusty soil. Seeds emerging from the rubble, watered by our tears and our songs. O naige, o naige, yagwaya daze, yagwaya daze. Wagatsenuni, wagatsenuni. Under this pink round moon, where the bears reassure us that they will return, crossing the spirit lines between past and future, seen and unseen, season after season, continuing to invite us in. The past and the future are places we can go. Our time here is lent to us by the future. We remember the past. We remember the future. We can put them back together again. O naige, o naige, yagwaya daze, yagwaya daze, wagatsenuni, wagatsenuni. May we have the courage to remember, to accept the invitation, to remember our past, to remember our future. Grandmother Granite, lend us your mineral memory. You've watched seasons merge into seasons. May we apprentice ourselves to the life cycles all around us. And like the moon, the face of each thing is in constant change. And yet life goes into death, a seed awaiting rebirth. We are midwives to this new world. We sing this world awake. O naige, o naige, yagwaya daze, yagwaya daze, wagatsenuni, wagatsenuni. Yawagwa.
Rowan, thank you so much for the healing poetry and the powerful prayer.
Our next song is Women's Power Song by the Akwesasne Women. Hey GJ listeners, we have some special community events to share with you.
Starting off, the Black is Enough Symposium Part 2, a march toward unity and empowerment.
This event will be taking place on Friday, March 29th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 1635 University Boulevard, Northeast.
To find out more information, please call 505-589-0652. Again, that is 505-589-0652.
The Heritage Spinning and Weaving, Fiber Prep and Spinning class is taking place this Saturday, March 30th, from 1:30 to 3 at Casa San Isidro.
You can find the historic Casa San Isidro at 973 Old Church Road in Corrales.
Learn from the best. This class is presented by Weavers Myra Chang Thompson and Carla Wackenheim.
For more information, contact Aaron Gardner at 505-898-3915. Again, that's 505-898-3915.
The Calistewa dance group Zuni Dance is taking place at the Indian Pueblo Cultural Center at 2401 12th Street Northwest.
Dances connect us to our ancestors, community, and traditions while honoring gifts from our Creator. They ensure that life continues and connections to the past and future are reinforced.
Taking place Saturday and Sunday, March 30th and 31st from 12 to 1, there are multiple opportunities for you to experience this time of honor, connection, and gratitude.
Our last event of the night, a Jewish Voice for Peace Albuquerque chapter special event, the Guild Cinema Screening of Israelism.
Taking place Sunday, March 31st at 12:30 p.m., this film explores the dramatic shift in Jewish attitudes towards Israel in the wake of its brutality.
The Guild Cinema is located at 3405 Central Avenue Northeast. To contact them, please call 505-255-1848. Again, that's 505-255-1848.
Our next song is called Bajo los Escombros, which translates to Under the Rubble. It was written by Residente and Palestinian singer Amal Murkus about the crisis in Gaza. Our weekly vaccine equity segment is here to keep us all updated and informed about what you need to know regarding COVID-19 rates, testing, precautions, and more.
Today, we want to take the time to discuss the CDC's recent recommendation for adults ages 65 years and older to receive an additional updated 2023 through 2024 COVID-19 vaccine dose.
Last year, most COVID-19 deaths and hospitalizations were among people 65 years and older.
Remember, vaccinations are one of the best ways to protect yourself from serious illness, hospitalization, and even death.
What about our listeners who are not yet 65 and older?
Well, share this information with your loved ones who are 65 or older. And remember, if you aren't updated on your vaccinations, there is still an important way you can protect yourself and others.
Don't forget masking, washing your hands, testing, and staying home if you are sick. We need to protect our elders and the most vulnerable.
If you are not currently updated with your vaccinations or are planning to get an additional updated vaccine dose, visit vaccinenm.org and schedule an appointment.
We hope you've enjoyed this hour of community action. We'd like to thank our guest, Sarah Nihanlouin.
Tonight's hour of radio was produced by Roberto Rael and Barbara Ramirez, with production assistance from Sunandita Santana, Lily Lucal, and Adi Cordova. Thank you to our interviewer, Jacqueline Nguyen.
We want to give a big shout out to all of our youth producers. We could not do what we do without you. Generation Justice would also like to thank KUNM for bringing the voices of young people to you, KUNM listeners.
Our website is generationjustice.org, where you can check out all of our multimedia work and listen to our podcast, which are also available on SoundCloud, Apple, and Google Podcast.
We're also active on social media. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and follow our playlists on Spotify.
Generation Justice is funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, with additional funding from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, the New Mexico Department of Health, Infectious Disease Bureau through the Better Together Coalition, the McCune Foundation,
as well as Media Justice, the Santa Fe Community Foundation, and of course, all of you, who have contributed to our project by visiting our website and clicking donate.
Our opening song is Youth of the Nation by POD. Our last song of the night is Rajin by 25 artists hailing from the Middle East and North Africa region. They united to present an anthem that transcends boundaries, embodying resilience and resistance. I'm Elijah Cage.
And I'm Ariana Cordova. Coming up on KUNM is Spoken Word, so stay tuned and join us next Sunday at 7 o'clock.
Good night, New Mexico.